Children can be dismissed for children's church. Oh, did I take your fire away from you, Pastor? And I'd ask the congregation to stand, please. You've been sitting a little while, and I want to make sure that you don't fall asleep while I'm preaching, so I got you to stand. Join me in prayer. Lord, your anointing is what I need. Your word's already anointed. So as it goes forth this morning, may we be receptive to what you have to say to us. Listen intently and be touched and grow in you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Your bulletin has on sermon notes, entrusted with treasure. That's going to be our theme for the year, for the ladies. And they've taken that from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 7, which I did not give them up overhead because I didn't know I was going to quote it, and that's okay. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have Jesus Christ living in us. Earthen vessels, treasured, and that's going to be the ladies' theme. I'm going to take off in a little different direction, and the title for my message this morning is, If You Love Me. If You Love Me. Pastor Kevin preached a great message on love last Sunday, and I'm kind of continuing that theme with this message, even though it's going to be quite different. He showed us how to demonstrate love for our husbands, husbands for their wives, and for our community. So this sermon this morning is how you show love to God. You know, we like to tell people how they can show love to us. There's a lot of books written on that. And people try to figure out, what's your love language? So today, God's love language. How do we let him know we love him? And what I'm looking for is obedience. Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. That's God's love language, obedience. And I'm going to back up to the husband and wife love thing for a minute. We show love to one another when we obey them by doing things that we know they want us to do. We lived in New Hampshire, and our oldest boy was going to Bible college in Texas. And we had a bank account that was set aside and money put in strictly for his tuition. And we had an agreement, husband and wife, we do not touch that money. Neither one of us. That's for his tuition. And Kurt had come home for Thanksgiving holiday, and we had taken him back to Boston for his flight back to Texas. And on the way home, my husband Greg says to me, I took $300 out of that account. I wanted to do something with it. That meant that he went against what we agreed on. That meant I'm going to have to scrounge around in household money or try and drum up $300 to make up that tuition, because we'd just given Kurt a check for his tuition. I was not a happy camper. I was very upset. And we got home, and it was a Wednesday, and we had church that night. And I was going to church by myself. And I got in the car, and I thought, I am not putting a Christian tape in to play, because I do not want to be convicted. I'm mad. I've got a right to be mad. He didn't do right. And it's just, I'm not going to, you know, give in to that. So I'll put on a country station. And I turn my radio on, WOKQ. Yeah, that's what you get, New England. And what do you think is playing? Stand by your man. Tell all the world you love him. We are laughing now, but I was crying.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit has an interesting way, doesn't he? And I broke down crying, yeah. That's right, Lord. That's right. Yes, he's the man of the house. Yeah, it's his right to do whatever he wants with our money. It's okay. God said, leave it alone. Don't say anything about it. Okay, I'm good with that, God. You know, God can give you grace when you don't have any. He can help you with things like this when you really need to do it his way. Then came Christmas, and guess where the $300 went? For me. Girls, if you will, being subject to your husbands and obedient to your God, you're going to be blessed beyond measure. God wants obedience. That's his love language, and that's where we're going this morning. If you love the Lord, you'll show him your love by obedience to his commandments, to his word, the word of God. And that word there that Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Obey can be translated in different ways. We have it on the overhead. I'm not sure I can read it. It says keep. And it can be translated either way. Just like wives being subject to your husbands can be translated, wives obey your husbands. I'm so thankful whoever did the translations of the Bible put it just subject yourselves. It's easier to take, isn't it, than obey? But Jesus said, obey his commandments. Reveal your love to him. We're going to be considering the book of Daniel to bring out this truth of how powerful loving God can be in your life. It can take you through everything and anything when you really do love him. We're Daniel 1, verses 3 and 4. And the king ordered Epaphras, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. So in the first chapter of Daniel, we see Judah attacked, the nation of Judah attacked by the Babylonians. And they came in and they took all of these men that you see written about here. They took the cream of the crop to be servants in the palace. You can just try and imagine if your living is the cream of the crop, you're the best of the best, the richest, the most educated, everything to look forward to in life, and taken to another country as a servant. That's what happened to these Jewish teenagers. They've grown up knowing God. They've been in the temple all the time learning about God. The wonderful thing about that is they took it to heart. They loved God. They believed what the parents brought them up in. And they loved God and they trusted God and they knew God in their hearts. This would get them through. As David said in Psalm 46:1, God's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Ever-present help in trouble. And they knew this. You know, they're going to face a lot of trouble over there in Babylon. What do young people usually do when they get free of parents' watchfulness? Some of you are smiling. You were teenagers once. You know what you did. And we know what sometimes teenagers today will do. All we have to do is look at our colleges where they leave home and they go, and when they're not under mom and dad's watchfulness, they get in trouble. But these boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, they've lost their homes. They've lost their moms and their dads. They've lost everything that's familiar to them. And they've been placed in a position of servanthood. It is not a fun place. It is not a good thing that has happened to them. I don't think we can even begin to imagine. They could have let their hearts grow cold about it. A lot of times we do that, you know, if times are rough. Well, why did God let that happen? Well, how come that Jesus didn't, you know, stop that so it wouldn't hurt me? You know, they could have let their hearts go cold, but they did not. Instead, they depended on God and they loved him. And they, in their hearts, decided, we're going to do whatever we know God wants us to do, what pleases him. They knew God's love language was obedience to him. You know, they could have had wine. And you know, sometimes as young people, that's the first thing they want to try is beer, whiskey, wine, whatever. I guess nowadays it's drugs. Even more than that. But they, here it is offered to them. They want to give them really good wine, really good food. They want to make sure they're healthy and fattened up. But these boys, four of them, asked for a test to prove that they would be better if they didn't eat the stuff that they knew God would not want them to have or drink that wine. And so they were allowed to have a diet for 10 days. And it was true. They were better than all of the others. And you know, remember, they're not the only four young people that have been taken. There are others there. I asked, what do young people do when they get free of parental guidance? Well, what do we adults do when no one's watching? And we're in situations where we're offered things that we know God is not pleased with. You love the Lord enough to keep your life holy? When you're faced with temptations, how do you stand? That wine and that scrumptious food probably looks really good to Daniel and his friends. They may have wondered what they were missing, because they never had any of that. It wasn't what was allowed. But they knew in their hearts it was not God's way, and it would not please God, and they would not do it. They chose to obey. How about our actions when we're left with decisions and temptations and no one else will know? Most of us know the Word of God enough to know what pleases God and what doesn't. And if you do not know the Word of God enough, get busy and learn the Word best you can. And if you're trying and you love the Lord and you want to show Him your love, the Holy Spirit will nudge you and speak to you. Just as He spoke to me that night in the car with a country western song, He has ways to nudge you and let you know, this is the way, walk you in it. Please the Lord, please Him. When we're disobedient to the Word of God, we can use all kinds of excuses. One that we most often use is, oh, well, I was with friends, and they, you know, we all were doing it. Kind of just happened, you know, we all went that way. Well, I'm with my family, you know, my family. This is the way my family does things. Well, I know God doesn't really want me like doing that, but you know, we use excuses for sinning, not obeying God's commands. And you need to realize, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could have said, hey, you know, all these other guys, they're just going along with what's here, you know. They're going ahead. You know, they all were brought up in temple with us. You know, it's okay. It seems like it's okay for them. Don't use these excuses when you know better. When you know God wants more from you than that. I thought they were going to steal my message in Sunday school this morning. You can any of you that were here this morning, you know, we're treading on it. But Daniel and his friends stayed true to God and His commands. I'm reading chapter 1, verse 17, Daniel. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. God blessed them because of their obedience to Him. God blessed me because of my obedience to my husband. Not just with the guitar in 1982. And by the way, He just gave me another new one this last Christmas. He really a good guy. God honors that. And in your life, you need to know. You obey God, He's going to honor that in your life. In ways you haven't even thought of. And you honor your mate because you love them. I mean, you can say, okay, I've got to do it because the Bible tells me to do it. That's not as good as I'm doing it because I love them. And when I do what I know they want me to do, that lets them know that I love them. Some of you look at me like you don't really get what I'm saying. But think about it this way. Do any of you have a dog? A few people have a dog. You know, when that dog obeys you, you think, oh, the dog loves me. God knows when you obey him, it's because you love him. He's given you the things he wants from you, wants you to do or not to do. And when you do them, you're saying, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. That's what I want you to get out of this. And these guys, look at how they were blessed. Even though you see such a terrible thing has happened to them. And when the king of Babylon had a huge image built, the people were commanded by the king to fall down before it and worship it. And if anyone refused to do this, they're going to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not worship the idol, and the king was furious about it. He said, if anyone won't worship this idol, you're going in the fiery furnace. He gave them even a second chance. You know, Babylon invested a lot into these young lives. And he really appreciated and cared about these young people. So he says, you know, I'm giving you another chance. Now, when we play the music and everybody's falling down to worship, you fall down and worship the idol. And if you refuse, what God is going to rescue you? You may get that too from people. You think God cares about what you're doing? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And they had an answer in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And you probably noticed I'm reading to you from the NIV, and we're getting it from, what is it, English something. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Our God is able to save us from and rescue us. But if he doesn't, we're still going to obey him. You think you ever be faced with a fiery furnace? I don't think so. I hope not. But they would stand for God, knowing that they will give their lives. There are still people today in other countries that are doing this. They are obeying God, and they will not bow. And they die. How much are we willing to obey God to show him we love him? We probably won't have this kind of test. But you know, in our day-to-day lives, we're confronted with any number of ways that we can show the Lord we love him. James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What do you know about what you're doing? To him that knows to do good, know what you ought to do, and you don't. God's word said it's sin. And when you sin, it might seem like it's to other people. It might seem like it's to your government if you don't pay your taxes right or whatever. But when we sin, it's against him. And you're saying, in essence, I don't like you, God. If showing him your love for him is by obeying his commands, what do you think disobeying his commands is? Sobering, isn't it? May we remember the love for God these three showed as they chose to worship him and disobey the king. And the Lord went into the furnace with them and saved them from the fire. They came out of that furnace untouched. Not even the smell of smoke on them. Amazing miracle God did. Every one of us shows God and the world around us how much we love God by how much we obey his commands. How you live, your day-to-day life, everything you do, everything you say, you're making a statement about your love for God and his word, his commandments. Taking you to Mark 12, 28 through 31, you're going to say, where does this relate? Stay with me. You'll catch it. Mark 12, 28 through 31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. We're looking at showing our love to God by obeying his word, his commandments. Jesus said the first and the greatest is to love God. First commandment that he gives us, most important, is to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. We had a guest missionary speaker one Sunday night at Grandview for the service. And she spoke on these verses and she said, we never keep them. We never do. And that upset me. I did not like that message one bit. And I had to ponder it. And as I thought about it a lot, I said, do I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength all the time? All the time. Well, if I am doing any kind of sin at any time, I'm not loving him. So it dawned on me what she was saying. We say we keep the first commandment. We say we believe the first commandment. Yes. But when we disobey God in his word in any other way, we've already missed the first one. How important for our lives to be kept in his grace. Amen? Yes. I will show him my love as I obey him. 1 John 5:3. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Obedience to God shows love. You know what? Obedience to your parents, show them your love. Obedience to your mates, show them your love. That might not be what they tell you is their love language, but God tells you that's his love language. And if you really, truly want to make him happy, let him know you really care for him. Keep his commands. And you know, you start by loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the only way that you can possibly begin to do that is if you have accepted the fact that he gave his only son because he loved you. The only way you can love God the way he commands in his word is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who gave his life that your sins could be washed away. So this whole message this morning will just go right by you unless you have asked him, Jesus, to forgive your sins, come and live in your heart and life. That's how you will show God you love him, by accepting what he has given to you, his only son. Would you stand this morning? And I give you the invitation to ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Let today be the day you begin showing God you love him. You truly love him by accepting his son. Would you bow your heads? And if there's any here who have not made this commitment to Christ and you'd like to this morning, would you raise your hand? And we will have a special prayer. Be sure that you have asked Jesus into your life. And you start today loving God in the way that pleases him, by keeping his word. Father in heaven, as you look upon these people, move to bless each one with your presence. Help them, O God, to take this message to heart, and Lord, to live loving you in obedience to everything you've given us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Ask your anointing and blessing on this congregation as they go forth today. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.